Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Marcia. A good story is a good story, and it's Marcia Cook, actually, and I'm from Michigan Avenue Media and Marcus Bryan and Associates, and I'm an author. I should say this first because I never, ever say who I am, but I will say one thing. I wanted to say that we're having a little trouble with the phones, maybe because of the storms. I'm in Chicago, and we're having some issues, but hopefully everything will be fine. And I wanted to start tonight by saying something to Blog Talk. I want to say thank you because there was an issue I couldn't get on as the radio station, so they helped me for like 45 minutes. Cynthia, thank you from Blog Talk, and they were great about it. So that's one less worry because I always wondered what would happen. I've never had the problems other people had, so today I did, and they helped me. So thank you, Blog Talk. Okay, and we're going to this is going to be like a little two-part show because we had on Jeff Glaze last week, well, Friday, and we were talking about marketing, and we talked about a lot of things. Then I went and tried to do them, and then I realized I didn't quite get it. So, I mean, I'm hoping that I'm not the only one, which I don't think so, didn't get it. So I wanted to have him repeat some of the things that were really good marketing tools because there's a lot of us out there that we keep marketing, and we're going around in a circle. And Jeff, hi Jeff, thank you so much
Hello.
For coming again on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And so I hope that, we just lost January, okay, there's that. Okay. Anyway,
I'm here.
Are you there? Okay, so I thought we were.
I'm here, Marcia.
Okay, everybody's there, okay. All right, I'm just checking because I'm looking on my screen here. Okay, Jeff, when you talked about it on Friday, and I should also say that Willow, the whole show Friday is being featured. They put my name wrong, but that's okay. They said Marcia Clark, but it's Willow's. It said Willow Cross is on, and it started to say, but we were featured, and I didn't go on it again today, but I know we were featured, and sometimes we're featured now. We're featured a lot lately, which is great, and we thank Blog Talk for that, but now we're featured a couple days later sometimes for some of the shows that we have done. So Friday's show was featured today, and so people will be listening to the show. All our shows are on demand or on a podcast, but that show will be on throughout Blog Talk, so they're featuring it, so that's a good thing. Okay, now you were talking about the pay-per-click, so maybe you should just say who you are and what you do, and I did say when we just talked a minute ago that you will be on frequently trying to tell us a few different things that will be really good for us to do for marketing. Okay.
Okay. Well, first of all, my name's Jeff Glaze, and I write under the name J.H. Glaze. I'm an author of two novels, two short story collections, one longer short story, and I'm currently working on the third novel in my series, The Paranormal Adventures of John Hazard. Before I started writing, I've been a web designer for now 14 years. I am a search engine optimization specialist, and I do internet marketing via Google pay-per-click and things like that for clients, and I also do that internet marketing for myself. So having that many years' experience as a web designer, I've become proficient in search engine optimization and things like that. Also, in working with strategies to funnel, basically, people into various websites based on external websites.
Well, so, all right, so that's good, because that part you did not discuss on Friday when you were here. So you don't just do these things, you've done them as a career, so that's a good thing. No wonder you know
yes.
All these things. Okay. All right. Well, because you came on Friday, you know, as a writer of a self-published writer, but now you get all your credentials, which are extensive. Okay. So when you say...
One other thing, in the professional world, I've been working with AT&T in their internet division now for 2 years.
All right. So then, no wonder. Okay. This is why some of the techniques you had were really good. So, okay. Now, when you said pay-per-click, I know, like, I had talked to Virginia, who is my partner with World of Ink, and we were talking about the fact of years ago we didn't want to use pay-per-click because we all thought it was going to cost a lot of money in those at that time. But now they revised things, and you put money in. So do you want to talk about that, because that was really interesting.
Yes. Well, as far as pay-per-click, actually, internet-based marketing using advertising in campaigns on Google, on Facebook, on Goodreads, basically all operate in the same way. The difference will be in the complexity of setting up your account and managing your account. For example, if you have an ad that runs on Goodreads.com, those ads are extremely simple to set up. Those campaigns are extremely simple to set up, and it's just a few different criteria that you have to set and set up your budget. And with Goodreads, what they do is they ask you to make a deposit of an initial deposit.
Okay,
so
before
example,
you go any further, I tried this. Okay, now where do you go in to get that opportunity? Because it says a lot of things on the top, you know, what you do, you know, with your reviewing and everything else, but I did not know where it said to go in for ads and pay and click.
I believe on Goodreads that you that is, if you're an author on Goodreads, you have to be
right.
An author.
Right.
You go in through your author's panel.
Author's
and
panel.
And it's just it's basically a link in your author's panel where you're looking at your books and things like that.
Right.
There's a link to create an advertising.
That's what it says. Advertise, create.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I can go on.
Yeah, see, that's what I wanted to know, because it was not that easy to find. So I tried to do that, and then it sent me to another page, and then I didn't want to set it up because it was just a click. It didn't say Goodreads, so it might have been – Google has the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Now, Google has the same thing. You just go into Google and
– Well, in Google, you have to set up a Google account.
Okay.
And what I always do when I'm looking for something like that is you would look for Google AdWords.
Okay.
And basically you do a search on Google for Google AdWords, and it'll take you to the pages that you need to set up your account.
Oh, okay.
On Google, you don't have to actually pay in advance. Google will you have to give them credit card information or bank account information, and they will deduct the payments from your account every time it reaches a certain amount.
Okay,
so
but
every
do they
time
have,
you spend
do
a
they
certain,
have an do can you tell them how much you want, like the others you can't?
Yes, you can set up a monthly budget.
Okay.
You can set up a daily budget. You can set up with Google. Google gives you extreme control over your advertising in regards to regions of the country, city. Mm-hmm. You can advertise on just a city level. Let's say, for example, if you were doing a book signing, let's say in Chicago, mm-hmm. on Google you could set up a pay-per-click campaign that would give take you to a page that had information about your book signing. You could set it up for just the Chicago area and surrounding cities, and set a budget for that campaign. Let's say that you only wanted to spend $100. You would set your budget limit at $100. You would set up. You would bid on the cost of each time somebody clicks on your ad, and it can be as low as 10 cents. Not necessarily will you be on the first page of Google.
Now you said
but
something
you'll be
about
somewhere.
You had $60 in since November. Is that in the Google account or was that in?
No, ma'am. That's in the Goodreads account.
Okay, all right. Okay, I just wanted to get straight then. I thought so.
When you're thinking about these accounts, you want to think. You're thinking about reach. Now with Google, of course, you're reaching most of the planet. With Facebook, you're reaching approximately 500 to 900 million people. With Goodreads, you're reaching about 5 to 7 million people.
Okay.
So the fewer people that you have the possibility of reaching, the less amount that you're going to have to bid on a click to actually get good display on the website.
Okay.
So on Goodreads, your dollars are really well spent because you're working in a market that is specifically books. People who are on Goodreads are not there because of movies. They're not there about fishing. They're not there to find out about doing their plumbing. People on Goodreads are specifically there to learn, to find books, to read reviews on books, to try and win books, and everything's books. So whenever you're when you're advertising on Goodreads, your money is best spent because it's in your target market. The only problem with Goodreads is that not necessarily will your ad always display on your target genre.
Okay. And that's another thing. Somebody could switch genre. I mean, somebody probably could switch genres, you know, if they want to read another type of book. So would that do any good for anybody in case they wanted other people to reach, let's say, you know, some dramatic, like some dramas are with comedy in it or so, you know, there's different genres like that. Would that, if that's more confusing, like the, if you have a genre with thriller, that's one thing, but some people have mixed genres, so they should pick the one they want and just stick to one.
Well, you basically set up keywords in that respect.
Okay, all right, okay.
In that account. But as far as genres concerned, there are, on Goodreads, there are multiple marketing opportunities.
Okay.
For example, on Goodreads, you can set up your blog. It's not really a blog. It's more like a news feed on Goodreads.
Okay.
You can do their giveaways.
Okay.
Their giveaways, I've had as many as 1,300 people sign up to win one of my books, and it's really good exposure, even if you only give one book away. I've had 1,300 people register to win that one book. So, so if you think about advertising on Goodreads, you want to maximize what you're doing on Goodreads to enhance your advertising. So you want to do that blog. You want to set up that news feed. You want to give away one of your books and give away on Goodreads. You can't give away eBooks. You have to give away a paperback.
Okay.
So you want to involve yourself in all those things to complement that advertising, because the more references to you all over Goodreads is a much more opportunity. For example, I got a request today for Listopia on Goodreads where I could add my book.
I saw that. What is that? What exactly is that?
It's voting on your this one I got was voting on your favorite independent author.
Okay.
And what that does is everybody who has requested a book be added to that list is theoretically seeing that list. So even though it may not be your market or your genre, there will be people looking at that you have no idea who they are, that they haven't friended you on Goodreads, they're not following your reviews, but they may find you through that. So like I said before, you want to get involved in as many groups as you can, post as many messages as you can.
Because I was in Goodreads for about 2 years or three. I did a little with it because at the beginning it wasn't supposed to be the way it is. It was supposed to be, you know, just pick out some books, but then it became a whole different thing now. So I'm not on it that much. I go on occasion because everybody is on there. So I would suggest to people that they probably, because people are now saying Goodreads, like what you're saying right now, is more important than I actually thought it was. So there, you can get a fan base being on Goodreads. But the one thing is, when you click on Goodreads, you'll say that I'm going to get this person's book, let's just say. Do people, I know they don't get all the books, though. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people say, okay, fine, I'll be reading this book, but they don't say when. It could be maybe 10 years. You know what I mean? They just say it. So that doesn't matter?
Right.
That doesn't matter? Then it just...
Here's the thing. It's all part of a giant puzzle with many, 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 many pieces.
Okay,
and
that's a good way to put it. Good way to put it. It is like a puzzle.
So it's like, for example, if you go on Google and you do a Google search for J.H. Glaze, you'll see a lot of the places where you'll find me on the Internet. And I'm on the Internet on things like Google, I'm on Tumblr, all these different websites. And whenever you sign up for any of these things, you always sign up with your author name, not with your own name.
I'm on a lot of things, but... And I think, you know, if you look me up, because of the radio shows, I mean, I come up all over the place. However, that doesn't really sell books. Or, you know, some days I look at it and I go, oh, you know what, I just can't even look at this. You know, I mean, it's like it becomes overwhelming. So if people get on a program like this, at least they get a lot of fans that will, and if their next book comes out, then people will be at least knowing their name.
Right.
And they
and
might
that's why
look at
this...
their book.
Exactly, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, I said that maybe you want to have me on a couple of times, because
I will.
There's a lot of different areas that we can cover, as far as posting messages and posting replies to people on blogs. Believe it or not, when you post a reply on a blog, you're indexed in a search engine, and if you're posting with your author name, that's just another way that
okay.
you have points back to your website or your blog or whatever your main area is. And although a lot of authors have blog pages, the best thing you can have is a real website.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
ultimately that real website is yours. Nobody's going to ban you from it. I was reading an article today about someone who posted they posted an article on their blog that Google did not like, and Google banned their blog, deleted it, and they are no longer able to post on Blogger.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
So,
see, because we always have, you know, we have a lot of people come on the shows, and Virginia does a lot of things, but then people go, okay, you just do this. And then you go like, oh, fine. And then you after the show, you go like, well, what did they say? Because you don't even know, you know, everybody says just do this, but that's why you're actually saying what to do. Sandra, now are we, do you have any other, do you have a question? Because we were talking about this. Are we getting what we need here, you think? Is she logged off? Sandra? We might have lost her. That could be. Okay. See, because we talked about this after the show, and I, you know, that's why I wanted to have you on again because of this. Because everybody's listening, and then you go, I think I can do this. But then when you start to do this, you go, like, so what did they say? You know what I mean? So, yes, I definitely want to have you come on a lot of times, okay? So we will do this. Even if it's just for a few minutes like now, just so you can give different things, you know, ideas, but tell people how to do it because they don't know how to do it.
One of the things that I've written in 2008, I spent 3 months of my life writing a very dry how-to book. It's called The Ultimate Guide for Website Owners. And in that book, I wrote not for a person who's a web designer, how to build a website. I wrote the book for people who didn't know anything about the process whatsoever.
Okay.
And in that book, I covered how to write your content to make it search engine friendly so that search engines would actually put you higher up in the listings, how to do basic marketing for your website, how to hire a web designer if you couldn't do it yourself, the 17 most important questions you could ask a web designer before you hire them, how to play two web designers against each other for negotiating that on your price and things like that. And so, yeah, I could write something like that.
Okay. All right, see, this is good. All right, no, you know, I know you, you know, you did me a favor tonight by coming on. I so appreciate it. Okay, so I'll email you, and maybe you'll come on to talk about web designing and things like that that you can do for people, because I know myself, and I know Sandra might have been, is not on, I don't think. So I know that we want things done. And so the one thing you're saying is a real website is better, that, you know, you have more control then.
Yes, you have
okay.
total control. As a matter of fact, you know, whenever you get web hosting and you have your own domain name that you've registered through GoDaddy or some other domain
I have registered.com, and I've had them for years, and I keep them there so I know that I won't have a problem, you know, with them.
Right.
Because
and
usually the websites don't go down.
Right.
But so you can take my web address then and just make a website.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. That's good. All right,
Were you giving me permission, Marcia, that
yes.
I can take your web address and make you a website?
Well, not yet. I got to tell them. Yes, I want you to, because you know what? I want you because, you know, I'm with Virginia on hers, but, you know, I have my own. I have Marcus Bryan Company. I have my Marcus Maxwell, and I have Michigan Avenue. And it does get confusing, but I'm trying to limit the things I do to try to help people on these things, because I know that everybody sits there at night and they're going, like, now what? And, you know, and Willow Cross, that's how I met you. She actually started a lot of this stuff that she does for people and for herself, and she got a huge fan base, and that's what people need is a fan base. You don't need other people on Blog Talk who aren't even going to buy your book or don't care, you know, and that's what some of these sites now are much better that are coming out that people can do now that actually will get them, like Pinterest and things like that, where they can actually see some results, because they're not seeing results.
Right. Well, you know, one of the difficulties, if you're only doing your marketing through Facebook,
uh-huh.
is that you have a lot of people on Facebook who you don't even know how old they are. For example, I've had people win a giveaway on Facebook for my book, which is for 17 and older, that I discovered in the process of mailing the book that they were 12 years old.
Yeah, this is not
and they don't even have a credit card. And that's
probably another issue that I could talk about, you know, because, right, there's so many issues. But, you know, okay, so tonight I think what we'll do is, like, you gave – I'm going to try this myself. I'm going to do this one, and I think Sandra's going to try it too. But do you think next time when you come on you can have some kind of a program that maybe you can – you know, if people want to do this and they want to pay you for it, because not everybody wants to do things. And then we can talk about that plus the web designing. Because I think people,
yeah,
we talk about it, but we never really get this much involved in it.
Do you have a place where you can post documents?
Yeah.
After the show? Because what I could do, for example, on this Goodreads,
yeah, sure, yeah,
pay-per-click advertising, I could, yeah, actually write a document with screen grabs and things like that that,
okay,
show you how to set up your account.
Okay. If you
and
say,
explain,
okay, you know
how...
You can send it to my email, which is MBA... 3308. Yeah, and AOL.com. Yeah, you can send that to me, and then, right, and then I'll try it. Yeah, because I think that that's what happens. I know because I write notes on the shows sometimes, and then I'm so busy talking to the guests that I don't, then I go, like, fine, I'll do this, and I don't. And I know other people do the same.
Well, you know what I love about talking to people about? I can have a conversation with somebody. And I used to do this whenever I was self-employed. That I would go out and I would talk to someone and I would basically interview them about their website and about, you know, what they're expecting from it and things like that. And then I could stand there and tell them every single thing that they needed to do to be successful with their website, and they'd end up hiring me because they could only retain maybe 5% of anything I said.
Yeah, it happens. Right, yeah. Because we're all writing, we're all doing other things, and that's what happens. So, I mean, I'm admitting it, and I think other people need to admit it, that they can't, but that's why they're going around in a circle, and nothing is happening. I see this, I've been an agent for 15 years, I see this all the time now. Everybody's doing this. So, you know, tonight is really the romance show and the sizzling hot romances, so I'm going to talk about, I'm going to bring my guests on, but I so thank you for coming on. You want to listen in, you could, you know, otherwise, you know, we'll talk, and then I definitely want to have you back several times, because you're actually explaining what people need to know, and they really do. They might not admit it, but they're not getting anywhere, so I so really appreciate this.
Right, and if you have a way to distribute documents during the show, I can also prepare,
yeah,
something for during the show about what I'm going to talk about.
Okay, well, usually with the – I don't think Sandra's on now because she – Sandra, are you here? No, she probably got kicked off, I think, because of the weather maybe.
Then what
so
I could do is I could post something on my website and then we could just have people go to that website,
okay,
and download it.
Okay, you
want to
give your website? That would be a good idea. What's your website?
Well, right now my author site is jhglaze,
uh-huh,
at jhglaze.com.
Okay.
I'm sorry. jhglaze.com is my website. I just gave you my email address.
Okay.
My website,
right,
is jhglaze.com.
Okay, all right. Okay, and thank your wife for taking you away from her. Okay, jhglaze.com. Okay, all right. And then people can go there and look at it, and then we'll talk during the week, and then we'll find another time to come on. But I really appreciate this. I'll try this too. I want
this. Thanks for
having me. I think this works.
Y'all have a good night.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
we'll
now we have our hot show, which one of the people are, I think Bethany's not here. So we have January. Are you here, and Melissa?
I'm here, Marcia.
Okay.
January.
Oh, yes. Okay, January. Melissa, are you here?
Yeah, Marcia, I'm here.
Oh, you're there. I thought you were gone.
I'm here. Well, no, you kept calling for Sandra. See, I knew you liked her better than me.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Oh, God. See, I'm losing it. Right. Okay, all right.
Yeah, see,
all right.
I thought you were
doing. Oh, Bethany's here. Oh, my God. All right. Do you want to... What? Okay. All right, at least, Melissa, you use your regular name, right?
Yeah, I use my regular name.
Okay, I once had a show where everybody had different names on it, and I know their other names. Everybody was using another name. And I'm going like, okay, then who wants to talk? And it was like, I didn't know, because everybody had different names, because in some of this romance writing, people do not use their names. And so far I'm using my name. I do have one picked out, so when I do something else, I already know who it is. But anyway, okay, I'm going to let January talk for a few seconds because January has not been on our show. January Roberts was a client of mine years ago. She's a really good screenwriter, and I kept saying to her, write a book, write a book, write a book. And she said, oh, fine. And then she never did, and she did. Okay, so now she's going to talk about it. It's Denied Love. And hi, January. How are you?
Hi, Marcia. Hi, Bethany. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. They're all there. Okay. All right. All right. Do you want to just talk a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to bring the other two out with all of us?
Sure. I live in southern New Mexico. I'm about 3 hours south of Santa Fe, so that'll give you a feeling where I live. And as Marcia said, I've known her for quite a few years since I was doing screenplays. And this actually started out as a screenplay. I sort of did it backwards, did the screenplay first, and then Marcia talked me into doing it into a book. And she has guided me along this whole process this last year. And, you know, the book is doing fine. It's a romance. It's sort of autobiographical. And it's about summer weekends in Taos, New Mexico, a woman, a gallery owner in Santa Fe, who's sort of restless. She's 40 and hasn't quite done what she wanted to do. And she actually winds up falling in love with a Native American in Taos. And she has this affair on the weekends, and the bad part of it is she has a fiancé in Santa Fe. And so it gets very complicated. Yeah, and so this goes on for the weekend. It has a very surprising ending, and it's doing well. I was listening to Jeff, and I was thinking to myself, I am on Facebook, and I'm on Amazon, and plus I've done a couple of book signings here in New Mexico because it's based in New Mexico, so I've had a really good reception. And interestingly, I was telling this to Marcia earlier, the guys absolutely love this book. That really surprised me.
The male character. Yeah, the male character. That's why.
Yeah, the men, the fiancé is in his early 50s, very well-established engineer, architect in Santa Fe. And even though Hidalgo, the Native American, is younger than Maggie, he in his own right is a very well-established artist. So she has very conflicting feelings. And
two good guys. That's a good one. Everybody would
love
it. Yeah,
two good guys.
That's why the guys like it, right?
I think so. Yeah.
I think definitely so. So, all right, so then here you are. Now, the reason, one of the things is when I said to you about the show is, you see, he's giving some ideas that, because everybody's going around in, like, circles. And so now this will be something you can try to do. Because
well, in
I
fact,
think
while
will
he
help.
Was saying, while you guys were talking, I actually jumped into Goodreads.com. And while you guys were talking, I also registered myself. And I'll go back and review it better. But, I think we've discussed about the difficulties of getting the exposure and getting it out there to more people, and that's been my challenge with my book. This is actually my third book. My first two books were nonfiction, and this is my first fiction, and I'm just about completed another book, which is a children's book.
It's a whole different market. So now, Melissa and Bethany,
hello.
Hi. You're both with Red Rebel Inc., right? And other, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you're, you know, so Melissa, do you want to just say a little bit about yourself, and then Bethany can do that?
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you, Marcia.
Okay.
My name is Melissa Keir, and I write romance novels with a contemporary flair to them, and my stories tend to be about the neighbors like yours next door who have a little grain of, you know, truth in the stories. For example, my story that is out right now that's selling is Second Time's a Charm, and it's about a woman who is divorced with children and doesn't believe that she can find a man, being that she is a middle-aged woman, and her ex-husband had kind of run her ragged there emotionally after the divorce, and she just wasn't feeling really good about herself and ended up finding the perfect man for her, turned out to be her best friend's ex-husband.
Which does happen a lot, I've heard. It does happen.
Very much twist. And right now, currently, I have another book that will be released next week. It's going to be released through Secret Cravings Publishing.
Yeah,
it's actually a more erotic tale than I've ever written before. This is a female-female tale. And it ties in with the first story that I released in February, which is going to be all a series of five girls. They are the five daughters of a father who's currently experiencing Alzheimer's. It is how all of these five girls from this small town in Ohio have dealt with their lives and have to come back together for their dad at a time in their lives. And the character in the second story is, you know, having grown up in a small town, very religious, Catholic-based small town, and had been forced to hide her identity and her desires. And on a vacation, she meets somebody who interests her, and can this now work out? You know,
now what's,
she's
when,
gonna
what's
go back
the name?
To this small town.
What's the name
that
of
the story?
Of
is
the
called
book.
Beach Desires.
Okay.
The book is called Beach Desires.
Okay.
And that will be released next week, May 23rd. And then I have another book coming out with Rebel Inc. June 3rd, which is called Protecting His Wolf. And that is a story that takes a little twist on a fairy tale, thinking about, you know, the three little pigs and the big bad wolf. Well, in my story, the big bad wolf is the girl, and she's kind of a small town girl who is very innocent. And the three little pigs are a police officer, who's the oldest brother, and his brothers who run the detective agency that their family is a part of. So the three little pigs happen to be literally policemen and detectives, and now they've got to protect her from someone who's out to kill her. And that's
so you write, so you're writing in a lot of different, you know, genres. Then you're moving at, you know, you're moving all around.
I'm trying to
because
branch out. Most of my stories
yeah, that's a good
are
thing,
contemporary.
Right. Yeah, the contemporary. That's a good thing, like contemporary flair. All right, now we're going to Bethany. Hi, Bethany.
Hi, Marcia.
How are you? And you are with Rebel Inc.
Rebel Inc.
Oh, my God.
Yes. My first release with them, Mr. Thursday Night, came out in March. And I have several more. I just submitted one today. And
that I read, and it's very hot. It's good. Very good. So, yeah, I know that somebody's going to have that one because that's a good. It's good. But you write short stories.
Erotic, romance.
Okay, would you like to talk just a little bit about the market for short stories? Because there's a huge market for short stories. And if someone writes a short story, what can they do after the short story to make, you know, their readers satisfied by making a longer novel if they like the characters? So you want to just touch on that, you know, about how you feel about that?
Yeah, actually, Mr. Thursday Night did so well coming out that my publisher has gave me permission to go ahead and make him into a full-length
novel.
That's
great, because so, it's good.
Yeah, I'm working on that, and I should have that done probably by the end of June. And marketing for short stories is the same as any book, anything. It's just as difficult, and, I mean, we do the same things for short stories that you would do for a full-length novel. It's, but there is a huge market for it.
I think there is. I didn't
really
even realize it. Yeah, I never realized it till you, because I know when you sent me your book, and then I thought that was just, you know, the short story, and then they decided to make it as a book, and then I started realizing how many people write short stories that are very good. And I'm starting to look now for them because, like, some, I was wondering how some people, they go like, oh, I have like 50 stories. And I'm going like, how? I mean, how do you have 50 books? And I know now because a lot of them are under 20 pages or maybe 25, or then they even the novella, which I was talking about earlier, where I was telling her, because, you know, people didn't kind of do those things as much when they were going through different traditional publishers from the past. It wasn't like a big thing. Now it is. So a new writer can start like yourself and write good, you know, like a very interesting that you will want to look at. Go ahead.
The market for short stories is huge now because everybody is so busy, and there's so many people that just want to take a little time, you know, and 20 pages is good, you know, and, you know, short and sweet
and
to the point. Yeah.
Because what
Melissa,
you're saying, Bethany,
Melissa has,
is,
Melissa, you said you agree, right? You like the short
story? Yes, I do agree.
Yes.
I think that with the event of the e-reader out there and people reading things on their cell phones and people reading things on smaller and smaller screens, you're going to find the shorter stories are going to entice readers because they want something that's quick and easy that they can read in a short period of time.
Yeah, because I know Cassandra was on a show that we had a couple, which is an interesting show if you'd like to listen to it. It I'm trying to think the date of that show. I'm afraid to touch this thing here, but it you know, it was, I think it was 2 weeks ago on Friday, and we talked about short stories. Cassandra was saying, and she said something that really made sense. She said it was kind of like an event. So the short story is an event.
Right.
And it just could be a small event. And so that is very good for, like, new writers that think that maybe they can't really complete a full book yet. And if they do a short story, it's an event. So she just made it where, and something in the, you know, in the romance where it would be just a fun event. That's what she said, like a, just a celebration, just a little event. And it doesn't have to be major to be interesting and good. It could be
short. It's just like a day out of somebody's life. You know?
Right. Because we went through this on a show. And it was...
Marcia?
Yes?
Start it up. It's January. I interrupted you. Finish. I'll come back.
Am I off? Did you? Can it?
No,
hear
I'm
me?
Here.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was just going to make a comment about what you're talking about with the short stories. And that is, that was one of the comments I've actually received on this particular book, Denied Love, was because although it's only 211 pages, it comes across almost as a short story. And so it's a really nice, one of the guys said it's a really nice book to sit on the beach for the afternoon, and it's a really good read. And
yeah.
it was fast, it was satisfying, and they were left with a nice, warm feeling when they finished it. And it wasn't something that belabored and went on and on.
Right. See, I think that's what people are getting used to that now. They don't want, you know, because sometimes, you know, a lot of people, and this is what we're going to really be talking about next week. We're having a show on screenwriting with Jack Remick and Joanne Buchanan. We're talking about screenwriting and books to movies, things like that. And a lot of times, and Jack Remick was talking about the fact of that novellas are good to send to Hollywood because then if they want to write a script, it's easier for them than reading a 500-page. They'll get, you know, they'll understand the story and they'll just write a screenplay on it. You know, because a screenplay
right.
is only 110, well, it's actually, it could be from 90 to 120, but lately it's like 98, 100. It's different now because every minute counts as money, you know, and that's what happens. So
right.
they're trying to, you know, a lot of the movies are 1.5 hours. So I think that's, we're going to talk next week because that is true. That's why what I was saying to you today is a smaller book is easier for them to adapt. And so I think this is turning into a whole different market than as we knew it as screenwriters sometimes because, you know, we, a lot of people don't do both. You do both. I do both. But you have more time in a book. But a lot of times now because of the readers and all the things that came out, this is really good for people now because they can just read a book in like a night. Or and people want that, especially when they have the free books now where people are just loading up their, you know, their Kindles or whatever and for 99 cents, and they're loading it up, and they're reading it whenever they can get a chance for the free, and the
yeah,
free
I mean,
day.
Some of the largest best-selling groupings are those short stories. For example, they come around a theme. Decadent Publishing has one. It's called their one-night stand. And so it's one night. That's basically
right.
what the story is about, is one night. So they are, on average, somewhere about 22, maybe 40 pages. And those short stories then are standalone, whereas in the past what you'd see is those short stories being grouped together as an anthology around
yeah.
a theme. Now they're
right.
as a standalone. So people are spending, you know, $1.99, they're buying a book like that, and they're
yeah.
having a fulfilling time.
Right, because they don't have to put it down and whatever, and if they're on the train, they want to read it before they get home, or if they're at lunch, you know, you could just finish these books up really fast. You can take a lunch break and finish like a short story and be happy and satisfied with the way the book turns out, realizing in your head that this is a short story. So, you know, we did discuss this. Virginia and I and Bennett were on the show. We all discussed it. It was a really different show. If you could catch it, it's an interesting show because it was a lot of difference of opinion. Cassandra Dane called in, and she was fabulous. She came in and really went for the nitty-gritty part of what short stories and what this market is because it is not like any other market. The romance market is all by itself. It's not like thriller. It's just different. And the readers are different. And what they require and how happy they are is when they can just enjoy the story for what it is. They're not looking for a long term, you know, to be reading a book for like 2 weeks. They just want to write that.
if somebody buys a short story, they're not expecting a novel. They're not expecting the man and woman to get married and ride off into the sunset at the end of 200 pages. They're expecting a satisfying short story.
Right. And so that was our debate, was about short stories, and if some people thought that the endings were not, you know, the endings were just an ending, and it needed to go further on. But when Cassandra came on, she explained to everybody about the event. It's an event. And when you look at it like that, then you realize that is a good thing for new writers, especially because it's just easier in their mind to say, okay, I'm just going to write about an event, and they're not looking to write 100 pages. They're just looking to write the event, which means a tighter, better story, actually, because they're not looking to, put in things that will just make the book longer.
Right, stretch it out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because a script go ahead.
I'm sorry, but
I'd rather hear you talk.
It's, I think it's also about where we're at in this world. Now I'm 65. I'm relaxing in my life. But I think that in our society now, everything is quick and instant. They want it fast. They don't want to belabor things. And so I think that's one of the reasons why the short stories are such a huge market, is because they're sweet, short, concise, give them some pleasure, and then they can move on.
Right.
I mean, I could see that as being one of the reasons.
Yeah, I think it is a good idea, and it's certainly, because sometimes if you have a weekend, you might be in between a novel, and you're going like, I really want to write, but I don't want to write what I'm writing, and let me think of something else. So then you just come up with a story, and sometimes those stories come quick, and then that's it, and you're done. I mean, Sandra, Bethany, didn't you say that you did a story like that, your new one? I know.
Yes, I've been writing on several. I mean, I have a 5-book series that's actually going to be 5 novels, links, books. And yesterday I just sat down and popped out a short story and submitted it today. I mean, just kind of to break the monotony.
Although we should say one thing about your stories. I'll say it because I need editing, and your stories are pretty much very tight. I will say that, and I've been doing this a long time. They're tight, they're clear, and for a beginning person, I mean, that's why you're not like a beginning writer, because when I read your things, I mean, it's like you're ready to roll. I said, Joe, send it in.
Yeah,
goodbye.
The only problem I have, Marcia, is I'm allergic to commas.
Well, commas.
I will hang them and then I actually have to go back and put in commas, in place.
Yeah. Well, that should be the worst problem. But you flow, words flow, your description is good, and you actually, because somebody said to me, oh, it's really easy to write a sex scene. Well, I don't think so. Cassandra thought it was pretty good, and you write a really fast one. I don't know. Melissa, what about you? Is it easy?
I think it depends on where the day is for me.
Yeah.
I can't go from being an elementary school teacher to writing a hot and steamy sex scene.
Yeah.
There's just something strange about that. But give me the weekend and no little ones running around, and I seem to do better with that. But I do think that the idea behind those short stories, because all of my books so far have been short stories, the idea behind those short stories is that there still is that ending that makes... Oops, now I have dogs. The reader satisfied with a happily ever after or happily for now. I mean, there's
happily
no
for now. That's a good way to put it. Happily for now. It's a good one.
Happily for now. Because you don't know what's going to happen at the end.
Well, that's kind of like life, though. What's going to happen,
I'm happily for now.
Well, it's true, though. I mean, it is, people don't realize that books are realistic in a lot of ways. I mean, these characters, for everybody that writes, we write, they're regular people. They do things, and as writers know, they take their own life on. And most of us, our friends, if we're talking to our regular friends, they don't understand it, but writers understand. When they start a character, if sometimes it just doesn't work out the way you wanted it to. And, that's why endings, some people don't know their ending. I'm one of them. But sometimes you kind of know it, but then sometimes something happens and you go, oh, this is better. So, and it just works for all of us. January,
or like
so do you... I was going to ask January if she likes script writing or what she thinks about script writing. How you feel?
You know, I actually like doing screenplays better than I mean, I love doing the book. It was delightful, but I really like screenplays better because I like to write in short, concise sentences.
Yeah.
And a screenplay is like boom, boom, boom. It's like,
right.
You know, you hit it fast and it moves on fast. I had a little bit of a problem. I was laughing at you guys when you were talking about your love scenes, and I sort of mentioned earlier I'm 65, but my love scenes are long, drawn out, steamy, but have discretion, and I always leave you with that feeling. Remember when you watch a movie in the 30s and 40s, they leave some imagination?
Right.
That's kind of the love scenes that I write, and I think that is so much more fun because then you're left with your own imagination. But I do. I like screenplay writing much better.
Yeah, I do too in a lot of ways because I am not as descriptive as I think that I need to be sometimes. But then again, when people read my writing, they like it because it does flow good. It's just that I don't have a lot of description in it. And we've had other authors on that they don't do a lot of, a lot of people say that they skip over a lot of that. That's, it depends on the reader. So I guess there's all different styles. So that's why there's so much room for everybody out there,
Yes, this is interesting, Marcia, because this thought just went through my head. 20 years ago when we first met, we started working together, and I was writing screenplays. One of the problems was that I was too descriptive in a screenplay. The producers and directors that read some of my screenplays, it was like, oh, are you producing and directing my film now? So
yeah.
It's so funny how it turned around on me.
Yeah.
I got to the
yeah.
point of being a really good screenplay writer, and being very short, concise, and then it was very difficult for me when I actually wrote the book.
But you see it though when you're screenwriting. I wrote books first, then screenwriting, and then went back. But I go back and forth. But when I wrote my book, Love Changes, it was a screenplay. But when I wrote the book, it was so much more. It was better in a lot of ways because I got time to develop the characters more, and it was just different. But when you're writing a book, you have time. When you're writing a script, you don't. And, I see things more now because I wrote screenplays, because you have to visualize it and really edit it. See, we learned how to edit it. When you do a screenplay, you're editing your thoughts. In a book, you don't have to do that as much. And so that's that's probably why we like screenwriting. Melissa, have you thought about doing screenplay at all?
I haven't. I mean, you guys intrigued me, and I certainly would love a chance to see some of my work up on the silver screen there.
Well, we're working on that next. That's the next thing, And I think some of the short romance stories, which I think would be excellent for production companies to start looking at, because that is a small story, and then they can elaborate on it any way they want, considering when you send scripts to producers, they go, we don't like this, we don't want this, we don't like this. This gives them the option of saying, we like the story, we like the idea, but we're going to write our own script. And so
you look at Nicholas Sparks. I mean, his books sell because they attract an audience of women who love that passion, that character, that happily ever after.
They love that, right? And people want that.
They
like it. And he was on TV being interviewed, and they were saying, "Are you switching genres?" He goes, "No, I'm not, but I'm putting in, other things now, like maybe a little more thriller." He's doing. And I've had a lot of writers that do that on the show, where they add a lot of things. So because when I first started writing, if I wrote a screenplay that was a thriller, I didn't actually know how to put any comic relief in it. But now I know how to do that. You can have that, and those are the things that you learn over the years that there's no rule. You can just kind of go with the flow, and it does work a lot of times for a lot of people. Everything has changed a lot. It's a lot easier in certain ways because, when Jeff was just on now, the show was on self-publishing. And it's not that people aren't good writers. They're just not, the publishers just don't sometimes look at, what they're doing. Actually, Virginia and I are going to talk with Bennett. The three of us are having a show on Friday, I should say, at 12 o'clock. We're going to talk about something. She picked the topic of, why books, and why our novels, whatever, our actually manuscripts are not getting you know, seen sometimes, or they don't like them and they're getting rejected. So we're going to talk about why some stories make it and some don't, which basically the answer for me is there is no answer because we don't know, you know. You know, you can send something in and it be okay, and then somebody loves it, or you can love something and then they say, no, we don't want it. So that should be interesting because there's lots of opinions on that. So we're trying to pick opinion, you know, different kind of subjects that we want to know about. I mean, because these are questions. Nobody, there's no answer. You know, what happens because a lot of people stop writing because nobody's looking at it, but that's not true. They do look at it. It's just that it might not be right for them. It doesn't mean they're bad writers. And that's when you get rejections. Doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, you know. So over the years, you know, that's what, and that's why shows like this, like, you know, Virginia has separate shows, and then Fran Lewis has shows. She's also got a show. Actually, she's got one tomorrow, though, right? Well, I think she does have a show tomorrow, and that's on Red River. And then she has a show on Thursday with us. And I think I do have that. I'll get that by the end of the show. But, I mean, you know, there's lots of different, and she, you know, has now a review site. It's book reviewed, and she's having six reviewers that you put your book in there, and you'll get somebody that's really very knowledgeable that will review your book. Because we always talk about that. The reviews are important, but sometimes the people that are reviewing are not exactly in that genre, and sometimes it's not fair to the author.
Melissa, you do reviews, don't you?
Yes, I do. I actually have, not only am I have a elementary teacher hat and an author hat and a wife and mother hat, but I also work as an editor for another publishing house. I work as an editor for Inkspell Publishing.
Right.
And
what kind
of,
we talked about that a little. You want to talk about that a little now? We haven't
gotten
into that, but let's talk about that a little, what you do there and what they do.
Inkspell is a publishing house that started on its own after a publishing house that a bunch of ladies that we were all together at, for health reasons of the woman's husband went belly up and she decided she wasn't going to be a publisher anymore. You know, you had all these books, you had all these editors, you had all these authors that were due to be released and in the process of being editing, and the whole thing kind of collapsed. There's a lot of frantic people.
Yeah,
we went out and started a new publishing house. The owner is a wonderful woman. She also works full time as a like a electronics person for AOL, and so she's got a lot of experience in the electronics field. And so with her and I do the editing. She's got some other people who do covers and backgrounds and marketing and all of those different pieces. And we've
what type of work does she look for? Do you look for what type of stories?
We're looking for romance. We're doing
romance.
Some young adult. You know, we're looking for because it's a brand new publishing house that just opened in January. We've only had I think our newest book is our fifth book coming out. We're always looking for new books.
So if somebody has a book, will they take a self-published book and look at it? Or
A couple of people who have been with us, have been self-published, and we are working on, for example, right now I'm working on a manuscript that was self-published, and we're going to re-put it out.
Okay.
A couple of authors who are with other publishing companies have decided to come and have a special book published with us because they feel that we fit that mold better than what they're currently working with. Our covers are well-known. If you see an Inkspell cover, you know it's an Inkspell cover because of the design, most people.
And you
want
to give the website
cover.
So people can look at the covers? What's
for
the
themselves,
website?
Yes. It's www.inkspell, like spell, S-P-E-L-L, publishing.com.
Okay.
We also have a lot of opportunities for writers because we offer, depending upon our contracts, we do offer books in print and in ebook, which is one thing that most places, until they're at a certain number of sales, do they get to be in print.
Yeah.
And then,
which is it's good to do both because you know what, you never know which market. So if somebody might do better in a print market because they might go out, and you know, and try to sell books. So you, that's kind of leaving yourself in a good way, I think, to do both.
Right.
It's fair. You know, I think that's. Do you think that maybe all of you, you know, the five of you would want to ever come on the show? That would be a great show. We can talk about what you all do, because I think these are things that people don't know about. And
I think that would be great. I can talk to Shilpa more about that.
Because that's a good idea. Because everybody does different things, and I think it's important that people know that these newer publishers are out there to help. And you know, I think having a lot of you, because you've already come from other places, you know what could happen. So, and I think some of the mistakes were made before, so now you're doing other things, which is a good thing. That sounds great to me. So ask if they want to come on, and we'll make a show. I could do it day or night, because I think people would be interested in hearing, like, from all of you, of what you all do to get a book. Because it's not that, it doesn't take 1 second.
No.
There's a lot that goes into
it. Right now, the books that I'm editing are not coming out until October or November. But I have to have my edits done by the end of this month so that we can send out our ARCs, so that we can send out our magazine articles, so that we can send out and get the reviews that we want prior to the book being finally published.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question, because this comes up a lot. People are asking a lot. Now, when you're a small publisher, okay, so do you help your people out there, you help the authors out there, or do you... Like some contracts say, you have to do all your own marketing. But
no,
it sounds like you're helping.
Department. We have
See,
our
that's
own
why,
marketing department.
Right, that's what I'm saying, because it sounds like you're doing the whole thing. You're a small publisher, but you're covering everything.
We are doing, a lot of
that. I don't know how you manage that. You got a lot of things going on. Definitely.
We do have a lot going on. We do have a media person who does just our media stuff. We have... blog set up. We do blog tours, all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've established bases already for other help, such as reviews and sites like that. And as a matter of fact, Inkspell was just recently featured in the Romantic Times magazine
as one
of the newest publishers out there.
That's great.
So,
see, that's good. Right. Okay. See, I mean, I think that that's one of the things people don't realize is that how much time it does take. And the marketing part, as you know, it's horrible for all. It's so hard. I mean, and especially you take a new writer and you put them out there and you go, okay, fine, here's your book. And then they don't know what to do. They have no idea and they have no guidance. And you need to have guidance, because otherwise you're not, it's not that they're going to sell. It doesn't matter actually how much you sell, but at least you know what you're doing. I mean, and I think a lot of writers, because of the smaller publishers, like I know years ago, I've been doing this for a long time, you got a lot of rejections, but you learn along the way. But if you get published really fast from a small publisher, there you go. You don't know what you're doing, because you don't know how hard it really is. And you think that if you publish a book, you're going to sell automatically. And that doesn't work. It's not true.
Right.
So
and
I think that... Go ahead.
My other hat that goes along with that ties into the idea of the final piece, which is getting reviews. I also am a book reviewer for Sizzling Hot Books, which is a whole nother group. They have their own publishing company. They run their own PR company. And I'm strictly working for them as a book reviewer. And I've already reviewed over 200 books since I started working for them. And I take all genres from horror. I've read horror to historical fiction.
So you take them just from Sizzling Hot, though, right?
Right. I just take them Sizzling Hot, and Sizzling Hot pulls them from Maniac Reviews or Manic Reviews.
Manic Reviews.
Sites.
Oh, I know who that
Manic
is.
Manic Reviews.
Yeah.
Hello?
So if you...
Yes.
Hello?
I'm Jeff is still on the call.
Oh.
And I was wondering...
hi. I didn't know you were here.
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, I've been listening to every word, and I was just... you said the magic word. I write horror novels. And I would love to get a review of my novel. I would send you paperback if I could actually slide in on that.
Well, Jeff, what you need to do is you need to contact Sizzling Hot Reviews, and that's Sizzling Hot.
I'm on it right now.
Sizzling Hot.
If you would
really good to have somebody that really knows how to do all these things. He does it in 5 seconds. Okay,
Send an email to Marissa. Marissa
who?
Is the owner of the Sizzling. Marissa, M-A-R-I-S-S-A, Marissa.
Uh-huh.
And say that you've heard that her reviewer, Melissa, has reviewed horror books before. Would she consider reviewing your book she will then contact me, and that's how you get your book reviewed.
Sweet.
You have to go through Marissa by sending her an email asking if you would like, if Melissa could please read your review, or would Melissa please be interested in reading your book to give a review.
Great. I'm sorry to interrupt like that, but I just couldn't help myself whenever I hear the word review.
No, you could. I didn't know you were on. It was like I'm spooky. I'm thinking, who's on the I'm thinking, like, who's on the phone here or something?
Yeah. When I hear the words review in conjunction with the word horror, I'm in on it. I got to be there.
Well, there are people that review horror books. There are, you know, you need people to review your book horror. Maybe I can ask some people, because I know some people that, a lot of horror writers, because they've been on my shows.
Yes, and I have books and I have stamps, and I'm willing to mail.
Okay. Oh, good.
And
well, hey, you're all set.
Too, so.
Oh, you do. Whatever
works for you, Jeff.
I think there might be somebody on Fran Lewis's that does horror books. I think I'll check. I'm not sure, but I should. There's been a lot of people on the show, so I'm going to see who does them. Elizabeth Black and I do shows together with horror writers, and I'll ask her where you can send it. Do you know Elizabeth Black?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, she's been on. I've had a couple horror shows, and they're really great. Because, you know, basically, I have, like, all different kinds of genres, because I don't say this one I shouldn't have on or that one, because everybody's a writer. So we talk about writing. I mean, we're not really talking about what exactly they put in their book. We're just talking about writing. So I don't, you know, so for me, all the genres, I have everybody on the shows. I mean, and we've had a lot of romance shows with, you know, they write everything.
In listening to the show, I've really learned a lot about, it's confirmed my belief in the short story. And I think this has really been a good show.
Okay.
For me, anyway.
Thank you. We try, because we try different things, because I myself am always trying different things, and I've met so many people, and, you know, and I think it's a market that I've been doing this for years, so I'm admitting there's some things that I don't know either. So, I mean, people don't know things. So, you know, we're not all born knowing all these things. So it's like it just every day there's something else that comes up that, people, you know, you always should keep yourself open for that, because you never know what market you're going to fit in. You know,
well,
I have to tell you, I'm sorry, I have to tell you, Jeff, I was looking at Google Ads just last week with AdWords, trying to see, because I knew that they were offering the $100 special to certain people if they signed up. And
somebody got it. I know somebody that
rebate.
Got it.
Right. And so I was looking at that, and one of my friends, who's also an author, said she went through that $100 pretty quick, but it got her a lot of hits and brought her a lot of traffic. And I have had different marketing people talk to me about how to optimize my website so that I can get more people. And I'm now number one on Google when you search my name.
Really? Yeah.
Well,
that's important.
Well, one of the things about that is I'm not going to go into all that, but we should talk another time.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
You got my website, right?
Yep, I wrote it down.
jhglaze.com.
Yep.
Well, you can send me an email anytime or even contact me through Facebook. My Facebook page is jhglaze. But I'd be willing to answer any questions you have about things like that. But with that $300, if you're really careful, you can stretch that a long way. What you have to avoid is ever bidding on what the suggested bid is.
Like eBay,
because,
you never buy at the first price.
Well, you never buy at that suggested bid, because what you want to keep in mind with companies like Google and even Facebook with their IPO coming this week, they're a corporation. They're making money for their shareholders, and they're trying to get you to spend as much money as they possibly can on those ads. So what you have to do is you take their bid and you cut that into a quarter of what they suggest, and you will get coverage with bidding at a quarter of what they suggest, even lower, because for books, Google suggests a bid of $4.50 for books. But you can bid at 25 cents and still actually have your ad appear on Google at certain times of the day or night. Because as those people with those $4.50 bids, as their daily budget runs out, they have to fill the space with the other ads. And
right.
So you may not get coverage every day, but you may get coverage 3 days out of the week. And that's really what you're trying to do is you're trying to maximize your dollars and get as much coverage as you possibly can for the money you're spending.
See, that's the thing. See, when it comes to that, like a lot of people, that's why we wanted to repeat it, because it can be dangerous. So you don't want people to go out there and spend all that money and think, and then they're going to get hits, but they're still spending a lot of money. The purpose of the show on Friday was how, when you talked about Friday's show, which is on World of Ink Network, you know, or Blog Talk. You can find my show from Friday, and so people don't spend a lot of money and don't, you know, because like sometimes, you know, like years ago, that's what I didn't want to do this, because with my electronic company, I was afraid to do it, because if you get a lot of hits, you can end up with a charge that's quite expensive. And now you can do these things, which I didn't know either. So these are good things where you don't have to spend a lot of money, but you're in control at least of your money. They don't just take it out of a card.
Hits are cool. But it's sales that counts.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. See, that's the thing.
So you can generate a lot of hits. You can generate a lot of clicks. But if you're not selling anything, you're just throwing your money in right down the drain.
Yeah. See, yeah.
See, well, and another thing that we've talked about is that there is Amazon United States, but there is also other Amazon Author Central throughout the world.
Okay.
And you better get on them as well as an author. Because that brings you now international.
Yeah.
Right. I'm on all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm on UK
too.
Yeah, UK. But, you know, see, that's the thing. A lot of writers are out there, and they have no guidance at all. They don't know what to do at all. And with all the new things, it becomes very overwhelming to people. And my goal has always been, which January knows, is to keep people writing. So, January, do you see what I meant today about you'd learn all these things?
Yes. Yes,
because
for sure.
There's so much to learn. But these things work for people. But you can't do everything at once. You know, I like to do everything fast, but not this. You can't, because that's when you start making mistakes, especially when it's costing you money, you know. But with programs like this and people like Jeff that you are actually, and Melissa, you know, you're telling us these things, which are really good, because this is what people need to hear. Because we've done
so many of these shows, right, Marcia?
Yeah, we do. I do a lot.
We've been doing it since October.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of these shows because of this. Because I'm sitting here listening, and after the show, you know, I'll say like, well, okay, I think I'll do this, and I try it, and I go like, oh my God, I forgot to write this down. So then I'm thinking like, okay, fine, I won't do it. And then because then I'll look for something else. But I think these things are really important, because people come on and they say, oh yes, I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that. And when you listen to them and you go, fine, that's good for them, they're making money, and then there you go, and you just say, you shut off the computer, they forget it. Because that's what happens. It's too overwhelming. And so given different days to have these things, and, you know, because when people, you can only take, your brain can only take so much, especially writers, and look at what all of us are doing. Everybody's got other jobs, and you can only do so much. You know, Melissa, I don't even know how you finish your day. I mean, like 50 things here. But, you know, that's why it's really good to hear other people that are, because these are things we just would never know. And, you know, so I think this has been a really interesting show. I have work to do. I said I'm not going to do anything tonight, but that was a lie, because now I'm going to try anything, probably. But I probably shouldn't. I probably should do it in the morning, like when you're not up all day and talking, because your computer, this was breaking, and this I had to find out. I had to go on with Blog Talk to figure out how to do this. Because all of those things, you sometimes really should have a clear head to do marketing, because that is, it's harder than writing. You know, I mean, it's,
you know,
it is.
Yeah, Marcia, this is January. You know, you just triggered something else, too, for me that I realized in writing the book and trying to market it, is that the author is sometimes the absolute worst person to market their product.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I personally think that I have a really dear friend in Las Vegas, Nevada, who is a really good entrepreneur when it comes to marketing. And I had to turn it over to her, because for me, trying to market myself, even though I love my stuff and I love how I write, I was doing a poor job at it.
Yeah.
And she just took over and went like gangbusters. It's like they have that whole different insight that we as the author don't have about ourselves.
I never, you know, until I started doing this and really getting into this, I really do know how to market a lot of things that I never do, and I really can help people, but I don't want to do my own. That's the thing.
Right.
I don't want to
right.
do my own. I have, because my like in my problem, I have like 7 books, and they're all, and 4 are children's, one's nonfiction, one's fiction. It's very hard. That's why I think it's so much better to stay in a genre that you can market it all in. It's very hard when you, so I am going to kind of just move into a new market maybe and just let the other things, whatever fall, whatever may fall, you know, because I can't, you can't do this with all these genres. It's very difficult. It's much easier, and if you have a first book, it's really nice to set up your first book and start doing this, so then when you write again, you just know what to do, you know,
right.
And it's easier than to do it from backwards, where you have 7 genres and you're going, like 4 genres, and you're thinking, like, well, how do we do this? And the children's genre is really hard to market because it still isn't e-book time for the kids yet. It's out there, but not really. So
okay.
So that you have to go out. Right, so that's the thing. You know, and it's not an easy sell for children's books, but it will be when it gets, you know, everybody gets more adapted to using the e-books, and not every kid is going to have a Kindle or an iPad. But the schools now are going to start doing this. So I think when the schools start really pressing, you know, and having the lot of the schools are buying them, the kids will be reading books on them. But until then, it's still a light market, I think, for that. But the romance is a good one, and the horror. You know, I think those are the genres that work. You know, you have
well, if you look. Yeah, good going there, Jeff. I think if you look at what's on TV right now, that's what you get. It's
yeah.
either horror or romance.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I at least or game shows.
Yeah, right.
Hey, you know what I found to be incredible? When I first started working Facebook, all I found was people who were reading romance and the paranormal romance. And I'm finding that
oh, yeah.
a lot of them love my horror stories.
Yeah.
It's a really good crossover.
Yeah, it is. Because
oh.
when we have, like when I have a horror story show, you know, I'll have you on one of the shows because it's, we have like dark thriller, because a dark thriller now is like almost like a horror story. You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's a mixed genre a little now. So it, you can mix and match is what it is. And some are really, really intense, but sometimes they, in some of the romance, some of the horror writers put everything in it so that, like, you know, and I said on other shows too, they add some romance, some they add other things. So it's, so people, when they say, I don't want to read a horror book, that isn't necessarily only a horror book. It could be a dark, deep thriller too. It's almost, you know, that's what's happening now. So, yeah, I've had some good horror, I mean, Bethany, we've had some good people on for the horror shows. Very good, interesting shows. And they're good to have on because they're very, you know, it's like we're all like more free of spirit. You know, they're not so tight about selling one book. You know, they're interested in learning and talking. So, you know, in fact, we asked some of them, you know, like, what about your website? So one of them just said, well, you know what? I hardly ever go on it. I go, hey, I don't blame you. I don't like to do it either. So, you know, it's like, you know, everybody's at least being honest, you know, and that's what I do on this show is try to tell people is like we're all in this boat, you know, and it's not easy for anybody. So I think that tonight I appreciate you all for coming on and Jeff for staying on, which is good. And January, I hope you got a little more from this because you realize what there's so much going on now to do.
I do. And I have, you know, been doing actually the very soft marketing on my book. And after tonight, I am so excited about,
good.
I mean, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Amazon.
I'll probably see you on there at 2 in the morning. That's what they have.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's good. It's good for everybody.
Marcia, may I throw out a question to Bethany,
sure.
Melissa, and Jeff,
sure.
as we're talking, because we're talking about writing books, novels, romance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that's always been difficult for me is how does one come up with a title that we know is going to be a catcher and a seller? Because to me, the title is what grabs somebody.
Yeah.
I would say for my titles, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. For my titles, what I try to do is I try to boil the essence of the story into no more than 3 words. For example, okay, my first book is called The Spirit Box. The second book is called Northwest. And the third book is Send No Angel. And
okay,
each one of the... Huh?
I just said okay.
Oh, so each one of those stories, when you actually read the stories, the essence of the title is basically the essence of the story, because the second one, Northwest, is where the half of the whole book takes place, is in the Pacific Northwest, and it's a horror sci-fi thriller.
Yeah. Okay. See. Yeah. That's a good. Yeah. You can see. Yeah. I see that. Okay, Melissa.
I try and find a phrase or a catchphrase that fits the book, something that is maybe the characters use.
I do that too, right. That's what I do.
Yeah, something that comes from the story so that when the person is reading the story, it clicks for them and they say, wow, that's what I was going to say. And it comes back.
And Bethany?
I'm probably the worst person to ask that question because I just open a page and start writing, and by the time I get to where I'm going to stop, I have the title. I don't know where it comes from. I guess my characters tell me it because they
pretty much write
my story.
Yeah,
that's, I just come up with
you,
a
you get
little
it.
Little
right,
idea.
You get it.
Yeah,
you have good titles. Mr. Thursday Night is a great title. You know, I know why you asked that question, because the truth is when you do scripts, like I've had some of my scripts have had like 10 titles. They really have. You know,
trying
to attract. It's different. In the book market, I think if you have a good title, it'll work. You know, because I tried to change the title of my book and Love Changes, and it didn't work. So we went back to Love Changes. Because when a publisher picked it up, I thought, well, I'll just do, you know, Feel the Passion. And then it didn't work. And so I went back to Love Changes. So I think you asked that question because I know that's what I've done with screenplays. I've had different titles all the time. But with a book, it kind of fits it sometimes, and you just kind of go with it. A script, it's never, because it's always a working title. That's how we were trained in our head from script writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if a producer says, well, I don't like the title, you know, then you'll change it. We don't care. To sell it? No, we're all going to change. I've changed titles a lot, and I do this a lot. You have to in script writing. That's interesting, though, in book writing. I didn't think about it until you asked that question of it is very different. And in a book, you just say, okay, fine, that's the title. I mean, yours is fine. Yours is a good title, and I'd love. That's it.
Can I throw out one thing that I've been doing that seems
before
to be working really well?
Before we stop. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I have a Facebook page. It's called The Horror Challenge.
Oh.
And I encourage my readers to submit a word or a phrase, any word, any phrase. If all they can do is open a book and point it at a word in a book and give me that word, I take their word, I write a short story using that word, a horror short story using that word, and then I post it on Facebook. I give them credit for the idea of where the story came from, and I'm finding that the people are really, really enjoying those stories.
Oh, what a good idea.
And the stories are usually about...
The Horror Challenge?
The Horror Challenge. There's a couple stories right now posted on the site from previous. I had taken about a two-week hiatus because I had a major promotion going on. But there are two volumes of those stories on Amazon right now for 99 cents for each volume. It's volume one and volume two. And the first volume is, I think, 15 stories. And the second volume is 13 stories. And it's really good. Not only is it a really excellent exercise, but I'm finding that it makes my readers extremely excited to be a part of the creative process. And the people who have submitted the stories and I've written their story are like probably fans for life.
Oh, I love that's a great idea. That's a really good idea.
And the stories turn out really cool. I mean, I've written stories about stuff like a toothbrush, a bottle of shampoo,
that's
a recliner chair.
That's a great idea because, you know, really, I actually would do that for poems because I can write a poem like really fast and I can do it really good, but I don't really stick in that genre because for me that's really easy to do that. I think I might do something like that because it's kind of interesting because it's like it is a challenge to see if you can do something like that. That's good.
It really, when you think about it, I mean, I don't know about everybody else on the call, but my inspiration usually comes from something as simple as a word.
Oh, yeah. It's just there. Yeah. This is really
right,
interesting. So this is a very interesting show. I had so many things to do now. What I'm going to do them more.
But take a look at that horror challenge page. I put out a call for topics last night. I got 12 suggestions.
Wow. I like that.
And I started writing the story. The story I'm writing right now is the word was incoherence.
Good.
Wow.
Next week, on next Tuesday afternoon show of Jack Remick, he's done things like that to try to make you, Joanne Buchanan had a show and on Shark Radio, and what she did is she had Jack Remick on. He's fabulous. He's really good on screenwriting. He teaches. He's wonderful, and they have a blog, and we'll be talking all about that. But Joanne, he'll shoot a phrase out or something or say, close your eyes and think of this and think of and that makes you really work and think of something. And it's amazing what you come up with. But, she did it on her show, and I loved it. That's how I got involved, listening to Jack Remick, because they were trying things like that. It is things like this that make a writer really that's actually a good thing to do, especially if you have writer's block. Just take a word and just do something.
Yeah, my best story ever was the one I wrote about the recliner chair. And when you're talking about titles, the title of that story was Bob Saves the World.
Okay, there you go.
How cool.
Okay, before we go, what we should do is everybody give their... Okay, Bethany, you want to give your website? Or blog? It's a blog.
Blog. It's BethanyCrossBlogspot.com.
Melissa?
And,
okay. You have another
Twitter, of course, Facebook and all that. So.
Okay. And Melissa?
Melissa is www.melissakeir, MelissaKeir. .com, and you can find out about my blog, my book, my life. It's all there.
All right. January?
Well, here we go, in that I don't have an official, my own website, but through my publisher, I have the www.createspace.com/347-2119. And after listening to Jeff, I'm going to be working on a website, Jeff. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey,
go ahead.
If anybody would like a copy of my book, The Ultimate Guide for Website Owners, if you email me at my website, jhglaze@jhglaze.com, I'll send you a PDF of that document. It's 208 pages, and some of this stuff may be a little outdated. Most of it's still spot on.
Yeah, well, everything changes as we speak. Something has
changed.
Thank
you, Jeff.
Yeah, that's good. And I know, I just want to say a thing about Jeff's is that, you're not expensive on you were talking about it on my show. So, if somebody wants a web site that doesn't have one, contact him, because you can work with somebody that, to make it, where they can afford it and make it, even if it's a small one, just so they have something to call their own. And I think you're right about that, that it's a good idea to have that because it's yours.
Right. Nobody can throw you off of it.
Right. And so, the way things go these days, nobody knows what can happen, because really it's just everything is changing. So that's a good thing. Jeff, give your website.
jhglaze.com. The good example, the best example I can think of is, can you remember MySpace?
Yes.
Right.
I know people have a five pages on MySpace, but who would ever see it today?
Yeah. See what happened. That's what happens. Is a lot of things are changing. They really do change. So I mean, that's one of the things. What was good 2 years ago doesn't work now. Sometimes, or it works, but not great. So I think that's a good thing.
And God forbid that you wouldn't have your own domain name with your name, and you become famous, and somebody had already bought your domain name and wants to sell it back to you for $5,000.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I know that happens. You can find everything you need to know about. Actually, Virginia and I have one now, worldofinknetwork.com. And I think we have our shows on there because they're always, on demand. And iTunes has it. And Friday we have a show at 12 o'clock noon Central, 1 o'clock Eastern. And it's a show kind of like The View. It's Virginia, myself, and Bennett Pomeranz. And we all have different opinions, which, you will be hearing over the time. My website, is www.michiganavenuemedia.com. And if you have any questions, you can always email me or call me. And this was really good. Thank you all for being on. It's been very interesting tonight. I have a lot of things to do now, so I have to get off myself. I can stay up till 2 in the morning. All right. And I actually was not going to do anything, but now I will. But thank you all for coming on. And Bethany, thank you to everybody.
Thank
and have
you
a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marsha.
Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.